All right, give me attention here just a second, and we'll mention there's a lady here this morning needing some clothes for an 18-month-old. If anybody's got any, right there she says. Raise your hand there, sister, right there. For grandkid, needs some clothes really bad, 18 months old, so you see her after service. And also, I wanted to read you something here. We get, I don't even know how to get on email and don't want to know. I get enough regular mail. But Andy prints them off sometimes and gives them to me. And I'll read you one or two here. We get these all the time. This one says, some girl named Brianna, I guess. I said, hello, my name is Brianna. I just wanted to say my life was amazing about a year and a half ago. I was planning on marrying the man of my dreams. I got saved by watching one of your preaching videos on YouTube. And you've become a hero in my life. I stopped cussing, drinking, listening to bad music, hanging out with old friends who were no good for my life. I completely changed my life around. Without saying, my boyfriend did not like the change he found, and he left me. We got an argument one day, and he never came back. Man, I hate I broke him, a man up, a man of her dreams. But it said, he does not come around at all. He and his new girlfriend put me down constantly. The video I watched that changed my life was the one you preached on, It's Not Too Late. That was a youth rally last year. Isn't that a blessing? But it broke her and her man of her dreams up. That's happened to me before. I was preaching out in Texas one time, and this preacher was dating this girl, and he didn't know if he should marry her or not. And he said, now there's this guy coming to preach here named Danny Castle. And he said, I'm going to pray. If she likes your preaching, I'm going to marry her. And if she don't, I ain't. Because that's going to tell me what kind of person she is. Well, she must not have liked it. Because he dumped her right after that. But anyway, said, I'm telling you, you're a gift from God. If I do not get, if I hadn't got saved that night, I'd probably be much worse than it is now. I would also like to try and come to one of your church services someday. I live in Ohio. It would definitely be a trip. But it would be nice to meet the preacher who saved my life. Isn't that a blessing? And bless her heart. Then I got another one here from some lady who's on good ground. This one here will make it. Kimberly somebody or another, some kind of Yankee name. I want to thank Brother Danny Castle for his preaching. I've watched your videos on YouTube. Please keep up the good work. I got saved. God put me in the right church up in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Coming from a very wild teenager who was wild and whose life was out of whack to a girl who has Jesus in her heart now and serving him in the bus ministry. What about that? I got saved at 18 and I'm 19. And he talks about revival and stuff like that. If any of you ladies would email these ladies, I'd sure appreciate it. It's got their address here, and I'm going to leave this up here. Send them a word of encouragement. I don't know. It's got all kind of old crazy stuff, little old signs and stupid-looking stuff. BRIMRS 2121, A with a little circle around it, at gmail.com. Pitiful. Anybody waste their life, stuff like that. That shows how the day we're living in. But anyway, we have a young man here with us, two young men here with us, that is responsible for a lot of that stuff on YouTube. I have no idea. I've never put nothing on the computer in my life. He's put hundreds of them on there, and he put one video together that's had over 100,000 people watch it. And they drove 4 hours to get here this morning. So come on up here, Chet. I just met him in person for the first time a few minutes ago. I didn't even know who he was until the other day. You ain't no terrorist or nothing, are you? Watch him, Jeremy. Nah, he's all right. I can tell a terrorist wouldn't be doing that. Okay, go ahead, bro. Say something.
Well, I was on the internet like 3.5 years ago, and I was looking for my usual bad music I'm usually looking at. And I came across this website called Satan's Music, and then somehow or another it led me to this site called Old Fashioned Bible Preaching, The Truth Set on Fire, and I saw Danny's preaching on there, and I listened to this sermon called Surprises in Hell, and it really convicted me to death, and then I just went ahead and listened to another one that was called Some Things Young People Should Remember. And by the time I got done listening to that, I was just so convicted inside. It was like super conviction in my stomach, And I just had to get down on my knees and ask Jesus to save me. And you know, when you get saved, you just want to tell everybody else how to get saved too. And I started putting it all his videos on YouTube, and so many other people started sending me messages saying they got saved. And if it wasn't for Danny and his preaching and y'all putting his sermons on there, I might not have never got saved, and all those other people too. But so I thank you guys for making those sermons available for me.
Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And he brought another boy with him out, Brandon there. Amen. They drove 4 hours from somewhere over in Tennessee through the mountains, through that bad weather them weather forecasters was led by the devil to say. The Lord didn't lead them, did he? Because if the Lord led them, it would have happened. He don't lie. But anyway, it sure is good to have you guys with us, and they're going to stay with us today. You want to be sure and give an encouragement to him. There's no telling what's on him. Man, I'm telling you what, it's crazy. But this morning, here's what I want to do. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 22. The book of Revelation chapter 22. I've been having this on my mind for the last few days, and I'd just like to bring you a message here from Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. That would be last chapter in the Bible, right? Amen. Last chapter in the Bible. And look here in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. It's got a prayer there. And it's in verse 7. And Jeremy, you got it? I want you to stand up and read that verse real big and loud so everybody can hear it. Look at your Bible, Revelation 22:7. All right?
Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
Amen. Now, over and over and over, there in the book of Revelation, John says, even so, Lord, it's on down there, I think, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The last prayer in the Bible was for Jesus to come back. Notice that. The last prayer in the Bible was not for world peace, like our religious leaders tell us to pray. As a matter of fact, there's nowhere in the Bible where it tells us to pray for world peace. We don't have no world peace till the Prince of Peace comes and sits on the throne. Then we're going to have it. There's one time when the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to men, but that was only when Jesus Christ was here. When he ain't here, there ain't no peace. It's like when he's not in your heart, there is no peace. Turn it down, brother. But the last prayer in the Bible is, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want to preach this morning on the subject, if Jesus came before Christmas. If Jesus came before Christmas. The next event on God's calendar. The next tick on God's clock. The next event on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The Lord coming after everybody who's saved on this earth. There are 318 references to it in the New Testament. 23 out of the 27 books in the New Testament mention the coming of the Lord. The ratio of references to the second coming compared to the first coming are 8-1. For every time the first coming's mentioned, the second coming's mentioned 8 times. The Lord is coming. What if Jesus came before Christmas? When people ask, what you want for Christmas? Tell them, I want the Lord to come. I know a preacher up in Maryland, his church, their main prayer request is, Lord, come. Lord, come quickly. This world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I heard some on the news this week, and they said something like, do you believe the world's getting better? And the nuts sat there and said, oh yeah, it's getting better. I said, yeah, that's why you got more locks on your door than you used to have. That's why you got less disease than you used to have. That's why you got less crime. It's crazy. The world is not getting better. It's getting a little more sophisticated, but it's not getting any better. It's never going to get any better until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom in the millennial reign. We're going to talk this morning about what would happen if Jesus came before Christmas. Number one, I'm going to say a lot of plans would change. A lot of plans would change. Don't you doubt it, brother. A lot of plans would change. Can you imagine? All the plans that are being made in the next 3 weeks. Imagine the phone conversation. Now, Mama, I've talked to my sisters and I've talked to my brothers, and we're all going to meet over at Grandma's house at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve for dinner. Then we're going to open gifts. Then we'll all spend the night, or we'll do our regular Christmas trip. Can you imagine that? Literally millions and millions and millions of plans are being made. Can you imagine the airplane flights that are booked? Now, you know, I'll be flying tomorrow morning out to Texas. It's bad out there. Guy texted me last night. He said, there's so much ice out there, you can't even get around. I said, well, I'll be seeing you tomorrow morning, Lord willing. And I'm supposed to be in Texas by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And they say it's going to get out of the 30s, maybe for a while. But can you imagine all the flights that are going to be booked? I mean millions of people. I've got my plane ticket, they'll say, for December the 20th. And I'll be flying from New York City out to Phoenix, Arizona, or I'll be going out to San Diego, or up to Cincinnati, Ohio, or I'll be going to Flint, Michigan, or I'll be going to, down to Houston, Texas, or I'll be going to Kansas or somewhere. And I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus came, a lot of plans would change. Let's just imagine it now. Let's imagine. The Lord comes, let's say, on the 20th of December. Now, he might come before that. Let's just say, for illustration's sake, that Jesus comes on the 20th of December. That day would be what? Somebody tell me. Friday? Friday. Before Christmas. On Friday, the 20th of December, let's just say that a trumpet sounded from heaven, and all of a sudden, bam! All the saints of God in the world left this world and went home to be with the Lord. All right? Wham! We are out of here. We are gone. Now, you don't think some plans would change? Immediately, the airway on TV, they would say, alert, alert, alert. Fox News alert. CNN alert, alert. Something has happened. We're receiving reports from Washington, D.C. that there's some, most of them fellows would still be there to do their job. And they'd say, we just received report from Washington, D.C. There's been car accidents and a building's on fire and a plane had crashed. This does not appear to be the work of terrorists as of now. Nothing does anymore. And terrorists could blow up half the United States, and they'd say, this does not appear to be the work of terrorists, because we're trying to get on their good side because we're scared of them. But anyway, this really ain't. And they said, this could be the work of terrorists, but we're not sure. We're not sure, but the building blew up. We just got in. This just in. Also, in New York City, there's buildings on fire. There's plane crash. We don't understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Reports are coming in. Now, remember now, me and you's up there with the Lord. We're up there with the Lord, and we're gonna face the judgment seat of Christ, and He's going to put our garments on the iron board and iron the wrinkles out of them so we can be right when the wedding day comes. We're getting our wedding garments on. Our troubles are over. If you can hang in there and make it to the rapture, brother, your troubles are over. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I hope you don't wait till December 20th. I mean, the 8th to be fine with me, if whatever day this is. Amen. I'm glad to say a lot of plans would change. They said on the news this week, that big snowstorm hit New York here in the next few days, and there are going to be hundreds of flights grounded. Hundreds of flights canceled. Hundreds of flights canceled. Now, you know, when they hit the World Trade Centers, they said that all flights in America were grounded. That will happen again at the rapture. When the rapture comes, there'll be so many plane crashes, because the pilot was saved, there'll be so many plane crashes that all flights in America will immediately be grounded. Only people that'll be able to fly will be those out of Washington, D.C. Well, they will all probably still be here. And they'll be able to fly their planes, and they'll get on Air Force One, and they'll go out here, and the president, they'll take him to some bunker somewhere and hide him in there. Where they got them built in these secret places with walls out of steel, 8 foot thick, you know, and hide them on there. State of emergency. Martial law will immediately be declared, and people will call them, I can't get through. There was, I'm sorry. The lines are filled out. Please try your call again later. And you'll try to reach loved ones in other cities, and you won't be able to get them. You'll call, I'm going to call my sister. Call my sister. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, man, get up? His wife's supposed to go with him that day. They're going Christmas shopping. She's been begging him to go to church and go to Shining Light Christmas play. Then two more nights, and he won't go. And boy, he looks around that morning, and she's gone. And there lays her pajamas in the floor, and there lays her wedding ring, and there lays her Bible. That man, don't you think that man's plans would change? Don't you think there's going to be a lot of Christmas parties interrupted? Don't you think there's going to be a lot of changing going on? You talk about a change, brother. The Bible said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, oh yeah, boy, all them planes will be down. The church plans, prayer meetings will be called. People will be calling preachers. My telephone will ring off the hook, and it'll be message after message after message after message. But I won't be there to answer it. My cell phone will have message after message. Brother Danny, what's happened? Preacher, where are you? Let's go to the church. If we were having prayer meeting at the church that night, all the people that saved would disappear and leave. Some of y'all looking at me like, boys, that's really going to happen. And Jesus might come before Christmas. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I'm telling you something, brother. Money would change its value. Everybody would begin to wonder. I'm telling you, it's going to be something else. It's going to be something else when Jesus comes. It's going to be an amazing time. It's going to be a time like never, ever, ever, ever before. When the Bible said, you know, when we value a dollar more than we value a soul, you know Jesus is coming. When we love a ball game more than we love a revival meeting, you know Jesus is coming. When we're always feeding our body but never feeding our soul, you know Jesus is coming. When we'd rather hear the song of fools out there in the world than the songs of Zion, you know that Jesus is coming. When we get along with the world and come to church and fight, you know that Jesus is coming. When we respect the boss at work but then disrespect to the pastor at church and our Sunday school teachers, you know that Jesus is coming. When the stadiums are full but the churches are empty, you know that Jesus is coming. When 20 men will show up for softball and 2 for visitation, you know that Jesus is coming. The Lord's coming back. When old-fashioned shouting and preaching is made fun of by church people, you know that Jesus is coming. When young people can sit in the back and play on their cell phone the whole service and never feel no conviction or the power of God, you know that Jesus is coming. When a ball game lasts 4 hours and church lasts 45 minutes and people fuss, you know the Lord's coming back. When we're feasting and not fasting, when we're playing and not praying, when we're changing the Bible instead of preaching the Bible, when you'll pay $100 to get in Disney World and fuss about giving $5 to church, you know that Jesus is coming. When you play bingo 3 nights a week and can't make it to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, you know Jesus is coming. When guns are in the school and brother, the Bible's outlawed, you know that Jesus is coming. When sinners are praised and preachers are mocked, you know that Jesus is coming. When youth can swallow evolution and be taught we come from a monkey and the Bible's cast out, you know that the Lord's coming. I'm telling you, he's coming. He might come before I get through preaching. He might come. You say, well, I don't believe it. That ain't going to stop him 1 second. If everybody in the country turned into an atheist, the Lord's coming anyway. Guess what? The joke's on you, bud. I'm telling you, you're going to be left behind. I mean, if the Lord come right now, all you'd see, my shoes and my socks, and are they going to give me a brand new body and change this one that it might be like His glorious body? And they'd just be a pile of clothes and wigs and false teeth and no telling what else laying around in here. Amen. I'm glad a lot of plans would change. A lot of people's plans would change. You talk about Christmas parties changing. You talk about plans changing. You talk about, they say, well, Grandma's gone. And Mama's gone. And they're gone. Where'd they go? I don't know. Turn on the news. And they turned the news on. They said there has been an unexplainable disappearance of millions of people. CNN, Fox, NBC, CBS, alert. Millions vanish. Millions vanish. And somebody's going to come and say, those conspiracy people were right. Those UFOs, the people that put us here to start with, have come and taken these religious people out of the world and taken them to Alpha Centauri somewhere so we can get along with our true ancestors, the ones that built the pyramids. And brother, I'll tell you, that's what they're going to do. And the Bible said God's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who receive not the love of the truth. Let me tell you something this morning, people. This old book right here is still God's Word. And it's still true. I don't care what Hollywood said. I don't care what the news media said. I don't care what a songwriter said. This old book's true, and the Lord's coming back just like He said He was right here in this book. And you're a fool this morning if you're not ready. You're a fool to say no to God. You're a fool to sit there and say, well, I'm not sure about something. You better get your nose in this thing, get you an education, and find out, or you're going to be left behind when Jesus comes. I said a lot of plans would change. Number two, a lot of places would change. If Jesus come before Christmas, a lot of places would change. Especially where them planes crash. Especially in them car wrecks. You know, you go down the road and it's somebody wrecks and then somebody else wrecks. Bang, 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 bang. That's going to be everywhere. Every state. All 50 states. Bang, 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 bang. You better get you some Obamacare really quick. Because you're going to need it then, buddy. And you're going to realize you was a fool in the end. A lot of places would change. The Bible said it'll change our vile body. Imagine church buildings everywhere. Cars in the parking lot. People driving home for the holidays. Stop at the store. Have you heard anything? Have you heard anything about this emergency? What's going on? I don't know, sir, but they said I-40's blocked up here. You can't go in either direction. There's tractor and trailers off. Well, what are we going to do? Is there any motels around here? I'm sorry, sir. From what I've been told, all the motels are full. We don't know at this time. And they got a TV on there, and they got these guys on there, and they're saying, we still do not know the extent of the emergency yet. It's only been a couple of hours. We're getting reports. Phone lines are jammed everywhere. It's everywhere. It's the Christmas decorations are up. The lights are still on. But every single child of God that's been saved is gone from this world. What about that? And you say, well, somebody said that it might be God come. And oh no, it couldn't be God, because we still have Rabbi so-and-so here, and we still have the Pope, and we still have the President, and we still have the spirit leaders from all walks of life. It could not be, because they're all religious and they didn't go, because all religions are the same. And when Jesus does come, if He ever does come, He'll take them all with Him. And that explanation will be dropped quickly. They'll say, no, it couldn't have been religious. It couldn't have been. But it was. Jesus said, I am the way. Brother Derek hit it in Sunday school. He said, I am the truth. Not a way. Not a truth. The way. The truth. And the only people that's going when He comes is the ones that got their faith in Him. I'm glad this morning that my faith's in Him. I'm glad I know where my Redeemer liveth. I'm glad I know what happened to me when I was 18 years old. The Lord saved me. And it's still good this morning. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank God. I'm glad I'm saved. All the best Christmas we could ever have would be for Jesus to come back. I'm just about ready to do like that old country preacher where he said he walked the benches. That's what you say, he walked the benches. Amen. So you better clear me out like a part in the Red Sea down through here. I'm telling you this morning, the Lord's coming, and a lot of plans would change. And a lot of people would change. Think about that. What if Jesus came before Christmas? You say, well, I don't want Him to come back before Christmas. I want to see what I'm going to get. I promise you, it won't be as good as heaven. As a girl came up to me one time, she said, Brother Danny, you was up there saying you want the Lord to come back. Don't say that, preacher, because I want to get married. I thought, you stupid thing. That poor girl thought being married is better than being in heaven. Tell them, married people. Are you crazy? I ain't against everybody ought to be married. God's will. God give you somebody. I'm not against. I think it's the best thing on this earth. But it ain't heaven. Nowhere near it. God's got something 10 million times greater. Whoa, Lord have mercy. A lot of places would change. Can you imagine the planes? Alert. This just in. Had a train wreck up north the other day. Said the guy went to sleep driving one of them things. I don't know what you do to drive them things. Just sit there. But he went around a curve too fast, something, and derailed one of them things up there in Brooklyn. And boy, I'm telling you, I don't know if people died or what. But it looked awful. Can you imagine the train wrecks? Can you imagine being on an airplane? Holy mercy. And the pilot gone. It's like that. Somebody said, well, I don't want to get on an airplane if the pilot's not saved. Well, I don't care if he is or not. I'm going out there anyway. I hope he is, but it don't matter if he's saved. It ain't going to hurt. What would scare me is if it was going down in that thing, the Lord not coming. I'll get on there tomorrow. First thing they say is, put your seatbelts on. And I'll say, why do I have to do this? Now really, is a seatbelt going to help you doing 600 mile an hour straight down? 500 mile an hour toward the ground. You better have that seatbelt on. Were you crazy? Listen, there wouldn't be nothing left but a greasy spot left to you. Seatbelt ain't going to help you. We'll talk about why they make you put them seatbelts on. They've had encounters up there. We'll talk about that another time. But anyway, they ain't talking about crashing. They're talking about missing stuff. That's up there. But anyway, a lot of places would change. Thirdly, this morning, I want to say this. Not only that, this morning, a lot of people would change. I said, number one, a lot of plans would change. Number two, a lot of places would change. Finally, a lot of people would change. You know, there's some people in this world, their only hope of ever change is Jesus coming back. There's a lot of people in this world, you see them on TV, they got all kinds of money, they're living the high life. I mean, they got a mansion in Hollywood, they got a Corvette and a Porsche and all this kind of, I mean, if you earn it honest, that's your business, I don't care. They got everything. But you know what? There's a lot of people in this world suffering. There's a lot of people in this world hurting. There's people in this world, thousands, thousands of them, that don't even remember what it's like to feel good. Their body has pain every day of their life. We used to visit up there in the VA hospital where Sean works in Swannanoa. And me and these guys would go up there and we'd visit. We had certain people we visited. We visited this guy. He got both arms and legs blowed off in Vietnam. He wasn't nothing but a head and a body down to here. That's all he was. He had no legs and no arms. He was just a little stub laying there like that. And we'd go in there and visit him. And every time we'd talk to him, he'd call us Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Me and these two guys. He said, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we'd laugh and talk and pray. He could barely move his head like this. Laid there all the time. Laid there all day Monday. Laid there all day Tuesday. Laid there all day Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That month, December, November, January, February, March, all the time. The only time he could move is when the nurses would pick him up, turn him over for a little while, turn him on his side, roll him back over. That's it. The only way they could feed him was sticking his mouth with a spoon or through his veins or something. That was his life. And that old boy laid there like that and said, I know I'm ready. You think it ain't going to change some things when Jesus comes? You think some people ain't going to change? I mean, that old boy, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but if he is, and the Lord comes on December the 20th, if he did, and I'm saying, that boy, his people would change. He said, the Bible said, I'll change our vile bodies. You know, a lot of young people don't have no pain. They don't have no sickness. They think, but not what I care. I don't know about it. I like one of God. But as you get older and older and older, invariably, pains are going to come. Aches are going to come. You're going to get hurt. You're going to hurt in places you didn't even know you had before this is over. Hey, you're going to keep hurting and keep hurting. Thousands, thousands. I've seen them in rest homes, sitting there like this, sitting there with spit falling out of their mouth. That's their life. That's what they do every day. They're sitting there like this, drooling on themselves. Somebody come to meet them. What's going to happen to a person like that? When Jesus comes, he'll change that vile body, give them a brand new one, brand new fingers, brand new hand, brand new body, brand new eyes, brand new heart, and it will never hurt again, and it will live forever and never be sick. And never be so. I was thinking about it this morning when I was studying, praying. I got up about 6:30 this morning, and I was saying, I thought about my mom. My mom's been in heaven now for will be 3 years in March. And boy, I thought about, if the Lord come today, I'd be able to see my mom. You think some people wouldn't change? Old Brother Danny won't have no imperfections anymore. No problems. My knuckles has got scarred on them from hanging on the rim, and my knees got scarred on them where I literally on the trampoline, and I tell you, I've got scars on my body from car wrecks and bicycle wrecks and gunshot in my hand and everything else. I'm going to tell you, buddy, when I get that new body, I'm going to have one that'll never get sick, never get tired, never get old, never worry, never have a problem, and you can eat all the time at God's Golden Corral. A steak big as from here to that piano over there. And you won't get sick or have indigestion or get fat or your blood pressure won't go up. Just think about being able to eat for 3 days straight. I mean, it tastes good, don't it? You know why people like to eat? It tastes good. It feels good to swallow it. That's one of the best. But you can, the way it is down here, everything's cursed. You can only eat so much. When you get there, a lot of people's going to change. I'll never forget reading about old Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was blind, I think, from 6 weeks old. And Fanny Crosby wrote more songs than Lennon and McCartney, I can tell you that. Blind. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, stuff like that. Fanny Crosby wrote stuff, honestly, you'd think it's in the Bible. The way she wrote. She wrote that song, "When the sweet bells of Eden beckon me home, I long to see my Savior first of all. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hand." She wrote that. She grew up her whole life blind, never being able to see anything. Leah, like that. That was her life. And somebody stopped her one time and they said, "Miss Crosby, isn't it awful that you're blind and you can't see beautiful things and you can't see trees and you can't see waterfalls and mountains and streams? Isn't it awful that you can't see?" She said, "No, not at all." She said, "You people have to see all the bad stuff in this world." She said, "The first thing I'm ever going to see is Jesus Christ." Man, when you look at it that way, she's better off than we are. I'm telling you this morning, a lot of people is going to change. I've seen them hobbling around like that on crutches. Listen, there's thousands of them. I thought about Hazel Carswell, visited some of her family yesterday. Hazel laid there for weeks and months and years. We got that arthritis so bad. Her little old hand was like that. She couldn't feed herself, just laid down in the bed. That's her life. And if the Lord don't come, that's where y'all headed. You're headed for a rest home. You're headed for a hospital bed. But oh, the blessed hope that He's coming will tell us that a lot of people will change when the Lord comes back. Think about that. Think about it. I read this some time ago. I want to give it to you right quick. And I'm going to be through. Are you listening? Now this poem somebody wrote is not doctrinally correct, but it gets the point across. Here it is. "'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, nobody in our house. The Bibles were laid on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressed to crawl in their bed, no one ever kneeling or bowing their head. And Mom in her rocker and the baby on her lap was watching the late show
while I took a nap. When out of the north there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash. I tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the big day. The light of His face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like He had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw Him in spite of myself. In the book of life which He held in His hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as He searched for my name. When He said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The people whose names He had written with love, He had gathered to take them to His Father above. With those who were ready, He rose without sound, while all the rest of us were just standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I'd have been ready that night. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is surely near. There's only one life, and when it comes the last call, we'll find out the Bible was true after all. If Jesus came before Christmas, a lot of plans would change. A lot of places would change. And a lot of people would change. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Nobody's moving. Young people, bow your head. Close your eyes. Nobody's moving right now. If you're here this morning, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you say, "Preacher, I know I've been saved. I know I've been saved. But if Jesus come this morning, I'm not ready to meet. I'm not living right. I know I need to get my life right with God. Please, please pray for me. Pray for me." If you want us to pray for you this morning, would you just slip up that hand, take it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over this building going up this morning. If you're here, say, "Preacher, I need prayer. Please pray for me." Would you slip up your hand? God bless you. God bless you.